This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. Something a little bit different today. I've been given creative license on my own. The reins are fully in my hands, so we'll see how this goes. I'm joined by Tom from the Borough Breakdown podcast. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hey, mate. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Looking forward to Saturday. Tonight's episode something a little bit different. Obviously, we're joined with a view from the opposition for the fixture on Saturday. We'll be talking all things Middlesbrough. The game hopefully should be a good game between two good sides. Tom, how are things from a Middlesbrough perspective? Probably on a high at the moment.
Yeah, still all pretty good. I think we had a bit of a knock in the FA Cup last week. Got absolutely hammered by Brighton, but to be fair, we tried to play, you know, our new brand of football, and you know, Carrick said after the game we could have set up in a different way, parked the bus to try and get something from that game, but he said trust in the process and you know, kind of continuing to play our way long term was more important. But up until that point, we've been doing great recently. It's only really Burnley where we have had a bit of trouble in the Championship, I think, and the rest of the time it has been, you know, it's been entertaining to watch, which as Borough fans we're not too used to be totally honest. But been entertaining to watch, and we've been getting results as well. You know, we've been from 22nd when Carrick took over all the way up to 5th now. So yeah, we're still absolutely riding a wave and still on a real high at the moment.
Well, I'd looked beforehand, and as I say, I think 7 wins from 10 in the league since Carrick's taken over. I think you guys come to the Den just before the appointment, or obviously a completely different side. Then what is it that's changed? Is it the process, as you touched on, or anything other than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's quite a few changes, but kind of really what you're looking at is tweaks, and I think Michael Carrick would say the same thing. I don't know if you've seen that there was a viral video which I think Sport Bible picked up on a couple of weeks ago, where it was someone on TikTok kind of really breaking down Borough since Carrick came in, and he was saying, "Oh, we've kind of changed all this stuff where, you know, showing Barcelona styles of play times and stuff like that." It really, I think that's over exaggerating what's happened, because we were a possession based team prior under Chris Wilder. The main thing is the change in formation. We've gone from that 5-3-2 that Chris Wilder's so famous for to kind of a 4-2-3-1, but kind of an asymmetrical version of that, which I'm sure any Football Manager players who are listening will appreciate. But it is kind of like that, though. We've got Ryan Giles as our left back, who's probably one of our main sources of creativity, and in fact he is the top assister in the league at the moment. But then you've got Riley McGree over on the left hand side of midfield, which anyone kind of like looking at just the formation on a sheet of paper, we'd be thinking we're playing Riley McGree left wing. We're not. He's kind of playing as like a Roman number 10 over on that left-hand side and waiting for the Ryan Giles overlap. But what that's doing is allowing us to kind of play the three at the back that we were kind of doing anyway, with Tommy Smith moving inwards from the right-hand side. We've gone to a two in midfield now with Johnny Owson and Hayden Hackney. And Hayden Hackney's really only came in after Wilder had gone. Leo Bergovic brought him in, and Carrick's continued on with him. But he seems to be getting better with every game, really. And then I think the main man you guys will have heard a lot about will be Chuba Akpom in the number 10 role. Top scorer in the championship so far, which I think when he was playing for us a couple of years ago in one of the COVID seasons, I can't remember which one because they'll kind of like blend into one. No one would have expected that from him. You know, he missed quite a few sitters in those seasons, and we weren't really surprised to see him go out on loan. But he kind of came back in at the start of the season because we had a lack of attacking options. Wilder wasn't too happy about that quite publicly. Brought Chuba Akpom back into the fold. He got a goal fairly quickly after that, and then he's been a mainstay in the team really since then. And since Carrick's came in, he's been playing that number 10 role. It's really kind of evolved his game. He can do a lot more with the ball at his feet now, but I think he scored, and I think it might have been about 9 of the games that Carrick's been manager, maybe 8. But he's been absolutely fantastic since Carrick's came in. And like I said, it's the formation's changed, but also you can see how positive the players look now. They did look a bit bereft of confidence under Wilder, and that did seem to be a bit of an issue. Wilder was coming out and throwing players under the bus, blaming individual errors after games, but it was like 8 individual errors leading up to a goal, and it's like, that's not individual errors, that's your error. Carrick seems to be very different than that. He's you know, a very intelligent manager, as I'm sure anyone who watched him as a player would possibly expect him to be. But he also seems to have that kind of coaching style where he's able to improve players as well. And, you know, adding on to that, we brought Woodgate back in as his assistant. Aaron Danks has came in from Villa as a coach who's kind of really focused on individual training. And really the whole kind of coaching structures changed, but it does seem to be really positively affecting the players that we have.
I think it's interesting what you said there, touching on the confidence in the players, because we're looking back at that fixture at the Den. I mean, we'd switched from a 5-back to a 4-back just before you guys had come to visit us. And I think you were the first team to visit the Den after we'd made that change. And I think, obviously, you know, without watching Middlesbrough week in, week out, the results have obviously significantly improved, performances have improved, and the general mood looks like it's improved. But then the side that come to the Den, we're not expecting, from a Millwall perspective, we're not expecting to be facing the same kind of opposition as the team that come to the Den. Have you, I mean, looking at from the outside, I'd see Cameron Archer has been signed on loan from Aston Villa. Is there any worry that perhaps that Chuba Akpom is on the way out, or is that just to fill the squad?
I think he's been signed for a different role than what Chuba Akpom plays, and we're all kind of really expecting to see them playing together rather than Akpom being on his way out. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I've said it on our podcast before, if we get a ridiculous offer for Chuba Akpom now, because, you know, apparently Palace, Southampton, Everton have all been looking at him, mm-hmm. according to the papers, if one of them comes in with 10 to 15 million, we'd probably take it. I think so anyway. But Cameron Archer seems to be coming in to play the role that Matt Crooks is currently playing, which is kind of that number 9 role just in front of Chuba Akpom. And that might sound strange to anyone who's familiar with Matt Crooks, because he's your 6'4" centre midfielder. But he does fit into that role quite well. Under Wilder last season, he was one of the, you could tell his pressing had improved so much when he was added to that system on the right-hand side of midfield. And that's a key quality that we look for in that number nine role. I do think that his finishing can be a bit of an issue at times, although his goal record recently wouldn't suggest that. But he, like I say, he's been doing well in that role. That was a Jonathan Woodgate idea to put him there. But we only have kind of him and Marcus Forss to play that role. And Marcus Forss has been playing over on the right-hand side for us recently, in place of Isaiah Jones, which, again, we didn't think would work, but it seems to have paid dividends. So I do think Cameron Archer is going to be playing in that role advanced of Tuber Akpom, and we're all really looking forward to seeing how those two link up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, from a Millwall perspective, we haven't really signed anyone that's going. Oh, we made one sign in, unfortunately, a lad who's injured, so he's not going to be sort of making the squad on Saturday. We haven't been able to bring anybody in, and it's unlikely that we're going to be bringing anybody in for the game on Saturday. From our perspective, obviously, we're coming to Middlesbrough. I think goal difference separates us at the moment. The Championship is a very, very crazy league. You win a game, you move up sort of 8 or 9 spaces. You lose a game, and you could end up dropping eight or nine spaces. Have you been potentially surprised by Millwall's sort of first halves of the season, or are we one of the dark horses that people seem to tip every year?
You know what? I never am surprised with Millwall, but it's just because I just kind of have that feeling around Millwall that you're always around 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. And it's like, if you're not there, you're down the bottom of the table somewhere, but that's only every so often. And I worked out on our last podcast, I was like, you're pretty much the London version of us. Like, that's us. We're either around the playoffs or we're just down the bottom. So, usually not. I expect to see Millwall kind of around these sorts of positions. I'm not sure if I've ever seen us make the playoffs, but I'm pretty sure quite a few occasions it's always been down to the last day, and you've been there or thereabouts.
I think the closest we got, actually, a few years ago, I come up to Borough, and we were, I think you beat us 2-0. You had Adama Traore at the time. That's the closest we got to the playoffs. I think we'd gone on like a 21 game unbeaten
run. Yes, I remember that back game now.
Up to the top six. I think it was our first season back, but I think obviously coming back to the game on Saturday, it's interesting because both teams are likely to line up with that 4-2-3-1 system. I mean, we're not the free scoring side that I think, or the free flowing side that I potentially think that you guys are. Where do you see the game won and lost on Saturday?
See, a big part of it for us is our centre midfield. And one of the things that Carrick has changed, and you will probably see a lot of on Saturday, is playing out from the back, generally trying to play to House and Hackney in midfield, beating the press, getting them on the half turn, and kind of triggering attacks from there. I think if you're trying to press us, we will try and play through it, and that's one area will be won lost. But I would also say, as mentioned earlier, the left hand side for us is extremely strong. So I mean, if we're playing out from the back, beating the press and giving it to Akpom through the middle, that's a danger area. But our left hand side as well, I would say is pretty strong. But we've scored a lot from crosses from that left hand side, and I will say that, as good as I think Akpom is in the air, and he's been scoring quite a few headers from there, he's still coming up against people like in Jake Cooper, who are like really rated as a centre back, and is just an absolute mountain, isn't he? So it might not work the same way as it has been working on Saturday. So I would say it's more likely ball on the floor through the middle, try and beat the press and create chances that way.
I think exactly what you said there. From my point of view, I think if you're prepared to put crosses into the box, I think most of our supporters and Gary Rowett himself would be like, right, okay, our two centre halves, Hutchinson and Cooper, would probably prefer to be dealing with crosses into the box rather than the ball perhaps into Akpom's feet. I think from our point of view, at our midfield too, it's likely to be George Saville and Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell's probably been our standout player this season. He's been very, very good, young player, come through the academy and really makes us tick. So I think we will try to stop the passing out from the back. We did it six, and we've done it successfully to Watford, both home and away. We got right at them and stopped them trying to play out from the back. I think it's going to be quite interesting. I think, as I said earlier, I think there's a lot of clubs that are potentially looking at this year as the year to make the top six. Obviously, at the start of the season, if I was probably to ask you this question, you probably would have been hoping for a top six finish. I'm assuming that hasn't changed. Do you think you can make the top two, or is it realistically now a top six push?
I think top two is gone at this point. I think it's Burnley and Sheffield United to lose. Unless one of those teams absolutely bottles it massively, I can't see anyone else making top two. So I think it is just a fight for the playoffs now. I mean, from our point of view, it's like wondering if we had Carrick all season, where would we be? But I think, you know, we're where we feel like we should have been with the squad that we had at the start of the season now. And it's just the kind of fight to keep hold of that place now and being in amongst it. We've got three tough games coming up, Millwall, Sunderland and Watford. So I think after those, we're going to have a pretty good idea of where we think we'll end up in the table.
I think it's getting to that time, isn't it, where the games come thick and fast, especially... If, as you say, when you get a run of fixtures with the teams around you, you can really kind of cement a place in the top six or further. I do agree. I think, especially, I think Burnley, I think are the best team in the division. Certainly look to be running away with the league. We come up against Sheffield United. Obviously, it was an FA Cup tie last week. We made a couple of changes, but again, they look very strong. Very good for this level. So again, I think you're right. That probably that those two are running away with it. I mean, not to put you on the spot, but I am going to. If I was to ask you for a potential top six come the end of the season, where's your money?
See, I'd have to put us in there at the moment. I can see Blackburn dropping out of it. I think West Brom will be in it. I think the turnaround they've had as well has been fantastic. It's going to be, it's going to sound like I'm having a pop at our rivals here. I don't think Sunderland will make it, just purely because Mowbray seems to have a dip towards the end of the season, no matter what team he's managing. So I've got Borough, West Brom, Watford, and you know what? We'll stick Millwall in there as well. Like I say, you'll be in and around there somewhere. So you know, I've not seen you kind of get there before. So it'd be interesting to see you get there and to know match up with Watford in the semi-finals or something.
I think as a Millwall fan, you know, we've always seemed to be always bridesmaid, never the bride. We always seem to be the side that's there and thereabouts and fall away. As I said earlier, we haven't really signed anybody. We've lost a couple of players. Admittedly, they weren't playing first team football, so it's not huge losses. It's just our squad's probably a little bit thin at the moment. And you know, we're looking to get players in. But it's interesting that you mentioned Watford. I agree. I think Blackburn are a side. I think they are going to drop out. I think if they were to lose Burris and Diaz, that really would, I think, make it a huge difference to that side. I don't think they have perhaps the talent that other squads, perhaps like yourself and those that are going for the top six. I mean, in terms of from a Middlesbrough perspective, I mean, is promotion the be all and end all for you and for Carrick? Is that, if it doesn't happen, is it a bad season? What's the kind of feel from the supporters there?
I don't think missing out on promotion would be a bad season. I'd like to see us getting in the playoffs. Even if we were to end up dropping out of the playoffs at some stage, I still think Carrick's done a great job since he's came in to get us there. Especially at the start of the season, a lot of people were kind of tipping us for automatic promotion. You could tell a lot of building has gone into this squad. You know, Lenihan, signing of Clark, we had Ryan Giles, Zach Steffen. I think Giles and Steffen in particular, you know, people were, especially Chris Wilder, was banging about marquee signings before the season. And after the transfer window ended, we were like, where are all these marquee signings? I think they are them, because I don't think any other championship team's paying probably the type of money that we're paying to get Zach Steffen on loan from City.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that was a bit of a kind of reality check for some Wild fans. But I think this squad was assembled in the pre-season with the aim of at least getting the top six. So that would be a successful season for me. I don't think it's the be-all and end-all. Reason being, we're kind of moving more towards kind of being that sort of project, you know, similar to what Brentford, Brighton, etc. have done in the Championship previously. Our head of football, Kieran Scott, came from being head of scouting at Norwich, and you can tell he's trying to kind of build a team in a similar kind of vein to Brentford, where we sign talented young players, make them better, and try and sell them on for a profit. I think this preseason was really the start of that, when we sold Jed Spence and Marcus Tavernier for big sums to the Premier League. So going into next season, I think the building of the squads would kind of just pick up pace, and we'd be looking to improve on that season next season. And it's always more fun when you build a squad, you win the majority of the matches, and you're automatic promotion. You don't have to worry about the whole nerves of going to Wembley for us, because we never win there. But it's just kind of when something's being built and you're along for the journey, it's a lot more fun to watch. So, you know, as good as I would be to see us get to Wembley and lose again, I wouldn't think it's kind of the end of the world. I would just think, you know, we're going to build on something next season and then come back better.
So what you're saying, if Mill do make the playoffs, we want to be facing Middlesbrough in playoff final, because you're the side. I mean, our record at Wembley, to be honest, isn't great either. So,
we've only had one final win, and that was the Millennium Stadium when you know that was being used instead of Wembley. So, yeah, I mean, I went to the old Wembley to watch Darlington versus Peterborough as well. I was supporting Darlington that day, and they lost as well. So maybe I should just stay away.
Now, as I say, I mean, Wembley was a sort of second home for us. We made back-to-back playoff campaigns twice. Lost 1-1 both times. We've made FA Cup semi-final appearances. So we've got a lot of experience there. But I think for us, from a fan's perspective, I think this is the year we need to be making the top six. This is the year. I think the football in the Championship has changed from what it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think it's so open. It's so, congested. There's lots of teams that are, I wouldn't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Without being disrespectful, being disrespectful to individual players, but I think a lot of teams are quite evenly matched most weeks. I think there's lots of clubs like us. I think Sunderland, obviously, rivals of yours, you know, right at the wave of the promotion from League One. I don't necessarily think us and Sunderland and Luton are perhaps the best teams in the division, but we're making the most of the opportunity that's kind of being given to us. I mean, is there any fear of you know, the Michael Carrick wave potentially, you know, that coming to an end, or is it something that you can just see going from step to step to step and just continue to move forward?
See, I'm not sure. From my point of view, there's always that fear that it's going to drop off no matter which manager it is. I didn't know what to expect with Michael Carrick when he came in. To be honest, that appointment for me, out of the names that were linked, I was kind of like, okay, what's he done? What's he got to offer? Like, there was a lot of unknowns going into it. I do think that he's doing an amazing job. I really like, you know, his philosophy, the way he manages. You know, I was just listening to his pretty much press conference earlier, and just such a calm kind of demeanor. And when I was watching us against Brighton on Saturday, one of the things that we're noticing a lot of now is, you know, he asks advice from his coaching team, which I don't think Wild did too much of, or was seen doing too much of in his stint in charge. I was sat just above the dugout on Saturday, and I saw him with Jonathan Woodgate and Aaron Danks kind of either side of him, giving them advice. And I don't know, I can't, like I say, I like that whole philosophy of coaching. I think it could stick. It does. The more I think about it, kind of remind me of what we had under Karanka. You know, he's come from being a number two elsewhere, and learning under legendary managers. He learned under Mourinho as well. And I don't know, I feel like if Carrick was Spanish or Carrick Inez or something like that, then maybe the doubts might be a little bit less. I don't know why, it just kind of seemed like that under Ito. But I don't think it would stop, but I think if it did, I'd maybe worry. But it's all going to be like a test of his man management, really, from now till the end of the season. I think the fact that, you know, Carrick's only really managed around 15 games in his career, including the three at Man United, he's still maybe got a lot to learn, so have we, but he's doing absolutely fantastically well at the moment, and you can tell he's learned from some absolutely fantastic managers at Man United.
I think one of the things that actually helped with Michael Carrick and Middlesbrough, and again, this is just from an outsider's perspective, is I think there seems to be so much talk about the job that West Brom and the West Brom manager, obviously going in there, and obviously they're in great form as well, but it almost feels like that Carrick, the job that he's doing there, and Michael Carrick himself has kind of gone under the radar because of the focus isn't on him. You might have expected, coming from Man United, having won Premier League titles, having, you know, sort of hundreds of games at the top level, but the expectation. But it seems to me that he's just gone completely under the radar. He's gone in, he's playing his the way he wants to play football. And I think, as I say, I think the West Brom manager, and I think that what's going on at West Brom has kind of done you guys a bit of a favour, because no one's really talking about you. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but everyone seems to be talking about how good West Brom are doing and this, that and the other, especially other sort of Championship fans. But you guys have just gone, right, well, we'll do our thing and we'll see where we end up.
To be honest, it's interesting to hear that, though, because, like, as you can expect, we're probably all in like a Middlesbrough bubble. When we'll go on Twitter, so all the talks about Carrick, and then when we're seeing articles get shared, I saw one the other day, I don't know if it was The Telegraph or somewhere else, where it was like, oh, Carrick and company, how like two Premier League legends are managing the Championship and stuff. And like, from our side, we're like, oh, right, we never stopped hearing about this. But it's interesting that from the outside there, and other Championship clubs are hearing more about West Brom, and yeah, that might end up doing us a favour.
I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, it's hard to miss the fact that I think you touched on it. I think it was a 22nd or 21st to fifth is obviously a considerable achievement by from any manager. It doesn't matter who it is, what experience they've got. I think perhaps from a Millwall perspective, we lost Jed Wallace to West Brom in the summer, and there's been a lot of I don't know if you saw Jed celebrated an assist at the Den quite in front of the supporters. He tried to rile us up, and it ended up backfiring because we ended up winning the game. So I think perhaps there might be a little bit more talk. We might see a little bit more about West Brom from a Millwall perspective. But as I say, it just seems to be that they're the team that a lot of people are talking about. They're the team that are the ones that Sky and the broadcasting companies are favouring, shall we say. Obviously, bringing it back to sort of the fixture at the weekend and just touching on what happened last weekend. Obviously, both Millwall and Middlesbrough are now out of the FA Cup. Is that from your perspective, is that a good thing for Middlesbrough? Obviously, would you have liked a cup run? Is it concentrate on the league? Where do you kind of stand on that?
I think everyone always likes a cup run, don't they? I do think it would have been hard to top what we had last season. We went to Man United away, won on penalties, beat Spurs at the Riverside, and then got knocked out by Chelsea. It was overall a good cup run. I think everyone really enjoyed it. So, you know, it would have been harder to kind of top that this year. I think everyone's still buzzing over last year. So it's fine that we're out with it, really. It does give us the chance to concentrate on the league. You know, I was actually sat next to a Sunderland fan at our game last week, and he was buzzing that they were losing to Shrewsbury, because it was like, oh yeah, well, we're out as well, we can concentrate on the league and stuff like that. And then he was actually a bit gutted when he came out the ground and saw that they scored two in the last couple of minutes and got through to the next rounds. But I imagine for some Championship clubs that might be the case, where they're just like, great, we can concentrate on the league. Let's say everyone loves a cup run, but I think that kind of distraction, being out of the way, we've been doing really well in the league, we want to keep that going, and we just need to kind of really bounce back from that loss. I think this is going to be I don't want to say the first real test, because I'm sure he's had more than that, but like a good test of Carrick's management, and also the kind of resilience of the squad to really bounce back from that Brighton result and try and put in a good performance that we're kind of all used to by this point under Carrick on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of those clubs, I think. I was at the game last week against Sheffield United, as I said earlier, and I think the general feeling around us and the fan base was when the draw was made, it's against the Championship side, arguably one of the better Championship sides. Our opinion was, play the kids. If you get a result, great. But you know, we're happy to concentrate on the league. I think the disappointing thing for us, and what we're looking for, or certainly what I'm looking for, and I know other supporters are as well, we were quite poor last weekend. We did make changes, but we really struggled, to be honest with you. We had a couple of chances, but nothing really to shout about. And it was almost as if Rowett and the players had kind of gone, right, we're not interested today. We're going to be sort of ready to go at the Riverside next weekend. We're never going to know that. No manager's going to come out and say that. But it just, that was the kind of feel that we had from our perspective. We're fully expecting to be coming to Middlesbrough on Saturday. I'm not going to sit here and go, we're turning up to win. Obviously, we would like to win the game, but we're fully expecting our players to be back on it, how we have been in the league, and really give a good account of ourselves. We've got quite a good squad. I mean, in the return fixture, Zian Fleming scored two goals. I think one of them was a ridiculously deflected free kick. So he's still claiming it, and I would, but I think
Definitely.
I mean, they all count, but I think one was a deflected free kick and the other one was a little bit of a tap in. But, you know, there's two of the sort of red hot attacking players on show. I think it should be quite a good fixture. Again, going to put you on a spot with a question now. From what your understanding of Millwall, are there any players that you potentially are looking out for? Any particular players that you might like, perhaps in the Middlesbrough side?
As I mentioned earlier, Jay Cooper, big fan of his. When we were looking for a left-sided centre back in the summer, we were going after Jacob Greaves from Hull, and I was like, you know what, I'd absolutely love Jay Cooper, and as much as it's not going to happen, because I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be able to afford that, player I'd love to have in the Borough scene. It's kind of like a danger man. You mentioned Fleming. Definitely, like you say, one of the red hot strikers of this season in the Championship. Scored two against us, so he's definitely one we need to be looking out for. But also, I'd be quite worried that George Saville maybe has a goal in him against us. So it's written to happen, isn't it?
It's an interesting one with Saville, because I think you're right. I think he probably does have a little bit of a point to prove, because it clearly didn't quite work. It didn't work out in a Middlesbrough shirt for him. I think it was a big fee that was paid a few years ago by Middlesbrough. I mean, I think the Millwall ball pretty much snapped your hand off when you come calling and offered. Well, I think it was about 8 million.
It was. And you know what, from our point of view, it was like... We heard that we were going after him and Jed Wallace. So I'm pretty sure it was close to deadline day, on deadline day, when we got to travel. And then we were waiting for the Wallace announcement, which is like, all right, that's not coming. So we've just got George Saville, like, for 8 million. It did seem a bit weird.
It was near the deadline, because we sort of made a little bit of a... We bid for a player who's still in our squad, Ryan Leonard, and Saville had scored, I think he'd scored 10 goals from midfield the season before, hence why the interest from you guys and I think other clubs. For me, as an individual, I think George Saville's one of my favourite players. I think he's been very, very good in our midfield. As I say, it didn't work out in the middle of his return. Sometimes it doesn't, but he's kind of played a little bit more of a, should we say, a little bit more of an enforcer role rather than an attacking midfielder for us. I think he's got one goal this season. But from our point of view, if he wants to get forward and try and prove a few people wrong up on the Riverside on Saturday, by all means, get himself forward and give him and get in the box. And it's interesting as well, you mentioned about Jake Cooper. There's a lot of talk that clubs are in for him. From our point of view, it's interesting. Everybody seems to say Jake Cooper. He's one that he always scores against Sheffield United. They always say that they'd love to have him in their team. He's one that lots of people sort of tout to as a good player. Believe it or not, from a Millwall perspective, We often say when Sean Hutchinson plays with him, he looks better. Without Hutchinson in the side, Cooper seems to be a little bit shaky. So it would be interesting if he was to secure a move to see if it would work out elsewhere. But his aerial threat from corners and set pieces, he's obviously, he's only 6'6". He stands out like a tough arm. He's one that you can't really miss. I mean, in terms of the game on Saturday, bringing it back to Saturday, I'm assuming you're going to go with a Middlesbrough win. Is that your prediction for the game? What can I get a scoreline out of you?
It is, yeah. So I always predict us to win if we're at home. Away is a bit of a different story. It's always one where, like, if you can't see it, you're always kind of worried about what the result is. But I always have a lot of confidence when we're home, even if we're playing really poorly at that point, it'll still predict us to win. So I'm going to go 2-1. I think his will get one. And like I say, I expect it to be George Saville. I don't know why. Just like I say, it's written. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Borough.
And I'm assuming Archer, expecting Archer to go straight into the first team. Is that likely to be?
Not too sure, to be honest, because he didn't start against Brighton. And during the press conference, Michael Carrick was a bit coy on it, kind of saying that, you know, it could happen. We'll just have to wait and see. So I don't think we may be making too many changes from Brighton. And unfortunately, one of those changes against Brighton was enforced. Darryl Lenihan's out with an injury at the moment. Yeah, sure. So he's been ruled out for Saturday. We've got Paddy McNair in centre defence, who, to be honest, I don't rate in centre defence at all. Mm-hmm. I think he's much better in midfield. So that worries me a little bit. But I think if we were to make one change, it would be Crooks out for Archer.
And just while obviously bringing it back to kind of a Millwall perspective, it's interesting. We spoke a lot about Michael Carrick, a little bit about Chris Wilder as well. It's interesting what you said about Wilder being, you know, not potentially using his coaching staff around it, having that kind of stubbornness about him. Gary Rowett, obviously in the Millwall dugout, has often had his critics, a lot of critics, other former clubs he's been at, sometimes with Millwall supporters as well. What's your sort of opinion on Rowett as a manager, as an outsider? I mean, obviously, I don't think he's ever really had anything necessarily soon with the Middlesbrough setup. But what do you make of him as a Championship manager?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been linked with him a couple of times when I've been looking for managers in the last few years, but it's never got any higher than a 20-1 shot, really. Mm. So it's never looked like that was close. But I've always rated him, to be honest. I thought he did a good job wherever he's been. He did seem to kind of disappear for a little bit, and now with Millwall doing as well as they are, it's just, to me, seems like it's back to what I expect from Gary Rowett, really. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good manager, and would always kind of associate him with clubs around the playoffs.
It's interesting because, as I say, I think Rowett has he very much had the fan base very divided at the start of the season. I think, as I say, just before you guys come to the Den, we were in a really bad run of form. I think we dropped about 16th or 17th, and he was adamant he was playing a five back. He wasn't going to change. This is what the squad he'd built. This is what we're going to go with. And I think there was a little bit of pressure from the fans, pressure from the board. I mean, me personally, I think he's doing a terrific job. I think it's unfair to compare him to perhaps a Michael Carrick who's come in and obviously done tremendously well. But I think on Saturday it's two managers at a very different ends of their managerial career, especially in the Championship. Obviously with Rowett having quite a lot of experience and Carrick having coaching experience, as you touched on earlier. Obviously from a Millwall perspective, I am gonna go with a Millwall win. I say that through gritted teeth because away from home we are. It really is a bit of a licorice all sorts. You know, we went to Watford on Boxing Day and had, I think, 23 efforts on goal. But the away game before that, I think we at Sunderland, we played very well in the first half and then absolutely fell apart and they tore us apart in the second half. So I think it's very difficult to know what to expect from us. I always, like yourself, I always back my own team, but as I say, through gritted teeth, I would say 2-1, but I think stopping Akpom and Giles down the left-hand side, I've seen a bit of mainly highlight packages, but you know, that threat that you guys carry down the left-hand side is a big it's going to be a big ask to stop. I mean, our right back, Danny McNamara, has admirers from the Premier League, and I think he's up to the challenge, but he's really going to have to step it up a little bit, I think, to be able to stop you guys down the left hand side. Finally, are you going to the game on Saturday?
I am, yeah. season ticket holder, but I'll also be selling our fanzine outside the ground just before we start. Not related to the podcast or anything like that. It's just something I do. But yeah, if any Millwall fans are listening and say hello, I'll be out there and buy a fanzine.
There'll be, I'm led to believe by Mickey, who usually runs the show, that there's some of the Millwall players potentially listen to the show. Not mention any names, but there might be one that you mentioned earlier and potentially listening in, waiting to look for you in the crowd if he scores his goal that you seem to think he's going to get on Saturday. But I'm sure any Millwall fans that are, unfortunately I can't make the game on Saturday, but I'm sure that many Millwall fans listening will look out for you, and those that collect sort of the programs and things will go and say hello. For any Millwall fans, obviously, that have an interest in other clubs in the Championship, obviously check out the Borough Breakdown podcast. Obviously, links and everything will be on Twitter and YouTube. So it's always interesting to get different views and aspects of supporters and other fans from up and down the country, especially in the build up to the game on Saturday. From us, obviously, at the Millwall podcast, this will be going out on Spotify and YouTube tomorrow. I think it'll be going out as a podcast the early hours of the morning, and then everything will go out in the afternoon as per. As I say, I've been given the reins this evening at very short notice. I was expecting to be joined by potentially a couple of other of our unusual regulars, but I've gone from panelist to host. So hopefully those that have been listening in have enjoyed the show. Obviously, it's been great to get a view from the opposition, and obviously great to have you on, Tom. Thank you very much for your time. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. I would wish you good luck. I will wish you good luck, but I hope you're on the wrong side of the game on Saturday. But thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, babe.
Thank you very much. And as I say, this has been that Millwall podcast. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and as I say, all the show will go out on YouTube and Spotify tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.